Calling the Tri-City Tipsnet, calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. My name is Dave and I'm located in the town of Preston. I will be your net control this evening. Membership in Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All properly licensed amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. The net operates on the 147.060 repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening, starting at 7 p.m. local time, with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Also, to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPSnet is a directed open net, and that means that we call for a round of check-ins. When we have everyone checked in, we'll go down to the list of comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have a question or a comment for the net. We'll ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. There are three sections to the TIPSnet. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments. Second is a section for announcements and upcoming events and items of interest. The third, there is an opportunity for those wishing to seek, swap, or sell amateur-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," and release the mic button exactly like this. And listen to ensure no one else is called at the same time that you have. Then, slowly, give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and mention if you have a comment or a question for the net. I'll begin to take check-ins now. This is Dave, Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, your net control for this evening. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Who you calling slowly? Here is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf Kevin in Norwich, and I think I'm going to try the net's hand at a HF antenna question tonight.
Here is Kilo Charlie 1 Mike Victor X-ray Kevin in Groton, no questions.
Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck in Groton, no questions.
Here is Whiskey 1, Romeo Papa Queen, Bob in Oakdale, no questions.
Here is Kilo 0, Juliet Echo Bravo, Josh in Groton, with no questions.
Alright, net recognizes K6PDG with a question. I knew you wouldn't fail me, Kevin. KZ1MVX. So now we have a pair of Kevins. W1FJW, good evening, Chuck. W1RPQ, Bob. And K0JEB, Josh. Before we get into the questions, are there any further check-ins for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet? This is K1 Delta Charlie Tango.
Here is Kilo Charlie 1, November, Bravo Yankee, Jeremy Hillsdale, via Echo Link.
All right, KC1NBY also recognized. Good evening, Jeremy. All right, well, let's go to the top of the heap and see what Kevin has for a question tonight. K6BDG, go ahead with your question. K1DCT in the tip stack.
Well, thanks, Dave, and good evening to the net. I am going to throw out a question there that has to do with my doublet antenna here at the house, and I'm going to have to do some describing, so I will try not to be too verbose, and I'll pause while you all stop laughing. All right, so the question has to do with the configuring of the antenna. What I currently have is what I'll call an unorthodox doublet because of the small space, little postage stamp lot that I live on, and perhaps even a shortage of trees. At any rate, let me describe. The doublet is not 51 feet on a length as you would expect it to be. It is 47 feet on a leg. What I will call the east end of the doublet, that's the wire that travels north and south. You may want to use your doodle pad on this one, folks. It goes north and south. That was the point. The east end of the antenna goes north and south. The other end of the doublet goes east and west. The tricky part is it goes west from the center conductor, or the center point, about 36 feet, and reaches a point on a pole that is mounted on the third level of my house here, the third level patio deck, as FJW will remember because he put the pole there. And then it comes down the last 10 or 11 feet of the west end of the doublet, come down in a very steep angle, not 180 degrees, but close, ending at a point that is fairly close to the second floor level. So it's a rather odd shape, and it's not a full-length doublet. The center point of the doublet is up about 38 feet. Here's the question. Let me reset. Because I would like to maybe do better on 10 meters than I'm doing with my signal going up into Windham County, I really like the flying saucer net, and I'd like to stay active in that net. The antenna's working well for me, other than that little desire that I have. So the question is, if I took that end that goes down from the top of the pole, it's about 11 feet, and I brought that out to go north, and it would be connected to some type of rope that would tie off to a tree on the property line. So what I'd have, if you're looking at it from the sky, would be a C-shaped antenna with one end, with the foot of the C, let's call it, shorter than the top of the C, and the antenna lead wire that comes into the shack going away from the C. I think that's an apt description. And what I've been told is that the foot of the C might interfere with the head of the C because they will be about 36 feet apart, and that it would be a bad way to try and make an antenna work. So that's the question. Does anybody have a suggestion Would trying that make sense, or would it create boogeymen in my transmitting and receiving capabilities? K6PDG, that was as brief as I could do it.
Okay, well, this will be last call for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIFNET, because we've gone about an hour now. No, I'm kidding, Devin. I did have to laugh extensively when you said you try not to be too verbose, but it is a perplexing problem. And I'm sure Chuck will have some input, but maybe somebody else will too. I am not all that familiar with the doublet, but from what you described, by taking that back, and it's not very separated, without looking at the lobe pattern for a doublet, which I can Google here in a minute, I think, you may be, yes, you might be defeating your purpose. Now, if you could make it, my opinion, if you could make it go in the other direction, but I suspect you're probably up against the house. So, but with that, let's go see if KC1MVX, Kevin X, has anything to input on this subject, or maybe it's sparked another question. This is K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
Thank you, KC1MVX. I solve issues like that by just buying a G5RV and throwing it up and praying to the radio gods. It works half the time every time. But from what cursory research I was able to do while Kevin was asking the question and trying to decipher what research I needed to do, the two common words of wisdom I found was, if you want to do 10 meter all the way up to 80, try to get a 44, try to get the end maybe 44 feet, and that an angle less than 90 degrees, so the C sounds like it would be less, you know, because it's at the point where it bends into the sea, it wouldn't be 90 degrees anymore. You risk having that interference point to point, like he was mentioning. And of course, that's going to depend on the band you're operating on and your power output. There's a bunch of calculations for it. But it looks like the common wisdom is, if you can keep the ends 90 degrees, or the legs 90 degrees or greater angle from the feed point, you won't have that issue pretty much no matter what you run. And as you move inside of 90 degrees, you have to start doing calculations. So it sounds like it's doable, but there'd be calculations, and especially with a C, there'd be a lot of math involved. So it sounds fun. That's the best answer I can give based on the 2 minutes of research I just did and my own experience. KC1MVX, back to that.
All right, Kevin. Yeah, I think you made some good points there. And, you know, of course, the other thing is, if you want to see how it does, then you try it. And if it doesn't work, you undo it. So, but let's go down. I'm sure by now Chuck has had enough time to make all those calculations, and will be able to describe to us in extensive detail as to what Kevin should do. So let's see what Chuck has to say. W1FJW in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet. This is K1DCT.
He should put up a tri-band on a rotor. Just a thought. Let me see, if I correct me if I'm wrong, but you were trying for Windham County, was that correct?
Firm.
Alrighty, so the antenna is only about 70% efficient at Windham. Windham County because you're looking at the end of one element, but you're looking at the broad side of the other. So it's kind of aimed northwest and southeast. So I'm thinking now moving the east leg to be more east-west is not, I don't believe, to be doable. The choices are what to do with the last 11 feet. Right now it's going down, so it's forming like a capacitance hat and providing some vertical capability. Should somebody be doing 10 meters vertical? Matter of fact, it's close to the right length for that. The thing you might do is put it, instead of running it down 11 feet, run it up 11 feet. Or the other thing would be to try and get it horizontally another 11 feet. But I'm thinking running it north is not the direction you want to go. That would tend to make it look like, on 10 meters, tend to make it look like a giant J-pole laying on its side, or a ZEP antenna with the main lobes pointed exactly sideways to where you want them. I'm thinking up would be the way to go, but I don't see a lot of hope. Back to net, W1FJW.
All right, very good comments, Chuck. I think you're pointing him in... pun intended, pointing him in the right direction. I think there'll definitely be some cancellation if you go north. So, I know, even if you're headed more west, go west, young man. That's always the answer. So let's see what RPQ has for input on this antenna question, or maybe he's conjured up something else. W1RPQ, this is K1DCT in the Tipstone.
Good evening, Dave, and everyone. This is W1RPQ. Looking at the doublet, and there's a couple of different designs, and one that comes to mind that I'm looking at right now is the zigzag. And basically, because you have one end that's straight and one end that comes down to a zigzag, most of those design recommendations have you do a zigzag at each end, and then you can turn the main body of the antenna in a direction, and you're gonna be able to get a little more gain out of that thing. But having that one end go straight and then make a turn, yeah, it's a C is going to cancel out. And yeah, if you could get it to go up, you might have a chance, but you're really losing most of that leg with it changing the direction from the rest of the antenna. So I go with Chuck's other suggestion of the tri-band and a rotor, and don't worry about zoning, you'll be fine. But yeah, that's kind of all I have on this one. Interesting. Try an NFED antenna, I love them. W1RPQ. Back to that.
All right, very good, Bob. Yes, I have to agree with Bob on the NFED. We need to see for 40, 20, 15, 10, you need 66 feet. So, and even if it does go off in sort of a not perfectly straight, I think it would be fine. But the rotor and the tower, that's a winner every time. But I'm going to guess that's probably not a feasible solution for Kevin. But let's go down and see what Josh has to say. I know he's experimented quite a bit with antennas. So let's see what he has to say. K0JEB, this is K1DCT, your TIPSnet control.
K1DCT and the net, it's K0JB. I know the question was, could you bring that shortwave guide north? And I think the general consensus would be that's not what you want to do. However, I will answer your question with a question. Is it at all possible to keep the center feed point at 38 feet and put both legs at a slight decline to put them at more of a down angle to give you a little bit more of a inverted V formation while still keeping them at the L shape that you have? My thought behind that is that it would give you a little bit more vertical polarization. With your current antenna setup, I believe you're doing mostly local work, and you'd still be able to do all the nets, but it'd probably get you out a little better on 10 meters. That's just my thought, and I haven't run it through an antenna modeling software yet, but just an idea. Thought I'd throw that out there. That's what I got. It's K0JB, back to net.
All right, well, good comments, Josh. Change the orientation by moving the feed point. I don't know. I know Chuck is very familiar with this antenna. I have not seen it. I have been to Kevin's place, but did not examine his installation. But let's see what Jeremy has to any comments he has. KC1NBY, K1DCT in the tipster.
This is KC1NBY. Hopefully I'm making it into the repeater. I am portable now. So I figured I'd give a shot here. I don't have much knowledge on the HF antenna, so I can't help Kevin out with that one. But I am taking it and learning. So with that, I'll turn it back over to net control, KC1NBY.
All right, very good, Jeremy. This is a good place to learn about things. So before we get back to Kevin to see if all his prayers have been answered, let's see if there's anyone else that would like to check in to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TIPSnet. Please come now with your call sign. This is K1DCT in net control. Okay, well, no one's knocking down the door, so let's go up and see if Kevin has had his question answered. K6PDG, K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
Yes, I have, because the question was basically, was the person who told me not to put it in a C configuration right? And yes, they were, it looks like. Very helpful. I feel like I've just had I've just eaten an antenna book. A couple of comments. Josh's inverted V concept, there is some of that already going on. The center point of the antenna is, I think, 5 or 6 feet higher than the endpoints. Now, it didn't used to be, but it is now. And I am doing well with DX. I mean, I talked to Moscow with this antenna. And I get good signal reports from all over the place, generally speaking. So it's doing good for local, and it's doing good for DX, if you will. Not that I'm a DX hound. Because of the way it's configured and probably other things. I don't get into Australia and New Zealand very well, but who does? Going up on that end, all that's up, it would be the sky. And since I don't have a helium balloon or a drone or whatever, and that would get kind of expensive, but I think really what Chuck was saying is some fashion of up. That's right about at rooftop level. I would have to have, one of the guys or a couple of the guys, or maybe get Kevin and Brian over here, or you, Dave, or, you know, take a look. I don't think there's any way to fasten that over to the edge of the roof. When I had my G5 RV, I was making use of the chimney, but the chimney has become more and more decrepit, and it really isn't safe to attach anything to it any longer. So I don't know if I have any other choices, but you did answer my question, and I really appreciate everybody's time and looking stuff up on the internet to help me along. K6PDG, back to Nat, appreciate it.
All right, very good, Kevin. And, you know, not to mention, between you and Willimantic, there are a couple of good hills, and 10 meters has been, it seems to be okay if we try and do something like 8 o'clock, but, 10 meters has not been stellar, let's say. So, you know, it comes and goes. Occasionally you can do something, and, So that's about it. I don't know if there's any other questions that people want to bring up or like to kick this around a little more. I'll just throw something out there, and you can either swing at it or not. I heard Josh talking earlier today about some slow scan TV, and I can say in my 40 plus years in this hobby, I have never sent any slow scan. I've heard it, but have never really taken a big interest in that. So, you know, maybe there's some modes out there that you haven't tried that are worth a look. With that, we'll go down to KC1MBX. Kevin, any further comments about anything or something new? K1DCT in the Tippsman.
KC1MBX. Nothing further. Kevin, let me know what you decide, and we'll come help. We'll just schedule a time and get down there. That's all I have. KC1MBX, back to that.
All right, very good, Kevin. Let's see if Chuck has any further comments, corrections, additions, deletions. W1FJW, K1DCT in the Tippsnet.
Well, I had two thoughts. One was conventional, in that there is these ham sticks, and they make get a pair of ham sticks cut for 10 meters and get one of the dipole mounts and put them up on the pole with the where the feed is for the doublet. Or I was thinking, if we're only going to do 20 meters and up, an NFED antenna would be 33 feet. You'd need for 10 meters, you'd need a 8.25 foot counterpoise. But you could run that from the the feed line pole to the west, underneath the west leg of the antenna, get 33 feet there, and that would be a that'd be a full wave on 10 meters, and you'd have the unfed antenna there, and just let 8.25 feet drop from the bow and down the pole, and bring the rest into the shack. Back to net, W1FJW.
All right, well, another good suggestion. As Bob stated, and, I concur, we both are on NFEDs, and I have, for what it is, I have some pretty good results. So let's, speaking of Bob, he's next up. W1RPQ, this is K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
This is W1RPQ. Really nothing more to say about the antenna thing. I don't understand why you don't want to go with a tower and a rotor. I mean, that's really solid advice from Chuck, and don't worry about your neighbors. Not a question, but just throwing this out. I know we have an area later on in the net, but I have not had a chance to listen in the morning, but has anybody had a chance to listen in to the breakfast net that we started to run on this repeater at 8 o'clock in the morning? Just be looking to see if I could get some reports on that. This is W1RPQ, back to net.
All right, well, very good, Bob. Yes, I will say I have checked in, two, maybe three times this week already. I was kind of, I was happy to hear it, actually, because I remember the days when there were three good repeaters in the area, and from 6 in the morning till 9, roughly 9 in the morning, all three of them were chirping right away with somebody. In fact, sometimes it was hard to get a word in, literally edgewise, and get into rotation. So it's kind of nice to hear some morning activity on a repeater anyway. So, most of the times when I hear it, I'm already out and about somewhere. So it's kind of nice. So with that, we'll get on to Josh. Maybe he wants to comment more on Kevin's antenna, comment on the Breakfast Club, or maybe he wants to enlighten us on a little slow scan TV. So with that, K0JEV, K1DCT in the TIPSnet.
K1DCT in the tip sense, K0JB. Now I think we beat that horse enough. I think Kevin got most of what he wants out of that question. I can't really offer anything other than what I did. And as far as the morning breakfast net, I've been checking in. Sometimes when we've been checking in, a few of us, you can tell we still need a cup of coffee in the morning because we're either botching up call signs or just plain forgetting what we were saying while we were talking. But it was all good, and we actually it started to die down this morning, and a couple of guys took off, and a few more showed up, and K1ECU was trying to find you, Dave, this morning. You had already gotten off, but it was good time. And as far as the slow scan TV, it's still active, and I do it on the Raspberry Pi using a program called QSS TV. It's pretty fun, and if you want to, let me reset real quick. If you want to check out the images that I've been downloading off the radio on that, you can go to cpgeek.com. That's Charlie Papa Golf Echo Echo Kilo.com, and it does the last 30 images that were received. So it as they come in, the page rotates through them, and I like it because it gives me an idea of what the band conditions are looking like for 20 meters for the day. In the evening, I've had fun making contact with guys over in Italy. That's about all I have. That's all I got. It's K0JB back to net.
All right, very good, Josh. I'll have to get over there and check that out. Let's see what Jeremy is there, if he's still around. I know he was on Echo Link, and sometimes even the string runs out on that. So let's see KC1NBY, K1DCT in the tip set.
This is KC1NBY. Yep, so still on our walk here, still on Echo Link. About to wrap up the walk and go in and get ready for bed, or the kids ready for bed, rather. But, yeah, I think the antenna got beat to death there. And, answer Bob's question, yep, I've also checked into the breakfast net a couple days. And, yeah, check out Josh's images on his website there, and they look pretty neat. With that, I'll turn it back over to net control, KC1NBY.
All right, very good, Jeremy. Yeah, I didn't hear you on the breakfast net, but it's all right. I might have... I come and go because, like I said, most times I've checked in, I'm already mobile, so got places to be and people to do. So with that, we're at the bottom of the list. We're coming up about 40 past, so I'm gonna see if there's any further check-ins for like to join the TipsNet. This is your net control, K1DCT.
JMN, Jerry and Preston.
All right, well, good evening, Jerry. Good to hear you. Don't know how long you've been listening. If you have any input, maybe you have another question. You get instant service. K1JMN, K1DCT in the tip stack.
K1DCT, K1JMN, good evening today. I only have one real question, and it's about cross banding. And I've done some reading on it, and we didn't get a full understanding. I suppose I have to read it a couple more times. But if someone can give me a heads up on that, I'd really appreciate it.
All right, and by cross-banding, Jerry, I just want to make sure that it's clear to me. Might be clear to somebody else already, but I'm assuming you've got some sort of rig in the shack or the car that's capable of cross-banding, and you want to be able to operate that rig from, say, a handheld or something while you're out in the yard. Is that kind of... the gist of it, over.
Yeah, Dave, that's correct. I did notice in my manual that my radio can do crossbending, but it's only on that digital side of it. I don't know if I can do it, you know, on the non-digital side.
Okay, well, I'm not sure what kind of radio you have, but I do know, you know, a lot of the, particularly dual banders, the 2 meter, 440 rigs, you can set that up so that, say you wanted to monitor this repeater, you could have it go out on another frequency, whether it be on 2 meters or 440 simplex, to a handheld that you might be walking around the yard with, and it'd be just the same as you were at the microphone. So that's the kind of crossbanding I'm familiar with, but let's run through the list. K6PDG, any input on this? K1DCT in the tip snap.
Well, I've done crossbanding pretty extensively. Jerry, I think he has what is it? ICOM 5100 or something. I know it ends in 5100. But if the manual says it will only do it digitally, then my guess is it'll only do it digitally. Other than that, it's, you know, the normal precautions about IDing, and it's really helpful if you can use PL decode on the repeater side. Typically, you're not going to be your local personal frequency, let's call it just for the sake of discussion, is probably going to be on the opposite band from the repeater. Most of these rigs aren't going to do crossbanding in band. You're going to have to, in order to use a 2 meter repeater like this one and talk to it with your crossband setup, you're going to have to be with your handheld, you're going to have to be on like 440. That's how it works 99% of the time, just because of duplexing and diplexing and all that stuff. But beyond that, I guess that's all I have to think of. I have a super quick question. Let me reset. Giving some thought to moving the traffic net back to 673, and the listening I've been doing tells me that the repeater's working rather well. Since Thursday of last week, when the tech committee played musical antennas quite successfully, is the repeater been having any more of the old scratchy static that it was having for months and months, or does that seem to have gone away? I've been listening as best I can, but I'm not always able to listen. So that's the 673. Are the scratchies gone? Or I know we had a very windy day last Saturday, and I don't know if anybody on this net can remember that far back. K6PDG, back to net.
All right, well, very good, Kevin. I'm scanning a lot, but a lot of times I may or may not pick up on a conversation on 7-3, so I can't, I have zero input on that. KC1MVX, Kevin, any further comments on anything been mentioned? K1DCT in the tips net.
KC1MVX, not really. I've been wanting to do crossband too, so I can sit out in my backyard and talk on the nets on the repeaters a lot more easily. I have a Yaesu FT65 handheld, which is dual band, and from what I understand, my Yaesu 2980 base station won't do it, but I was recommended, I think it was the V71 from Kenwood was a good option I'm looking into. And yeah, from what I understood, I would put my handheld on 440, set the Kenwood up to be 440 whatever frequency, and then whatever I wanted on 2 meters. So the repeater set up the PL, and then I just talk into my handheld like I'm talking onto the repeater. That's my understanding of how it works, and hopefully a break, because that's my goal. That's all I know about it. I haven't actually done it yet. Casey, what have you expected at?
All right, well, yeah, that's usually the way it's done, and it's not anything new. These dual-band, cross-band type things have been around for a number of years, and of course, you know, I think more and more rigs have them these days than ever, but let's see if Chuck has any input. About cross-banding, we'll take it from there. W1FJW, and this is K1DCT in the Tipsnet.
There's two. I know next to nothing about this, other than I know there seems to be two flavors from the advertisements I see. One is basically a cross-band repeater, and the other is essentially a UHF remote control for your radio, and with some degree of overlap in the functions of the two. But that's all I know. Back to Net W1FJW.
All right, well, I can honestly say I have never done it, but I understand the concepts. I can't really help Jerry how to operate this rig, but maybe somebody can. Maybe W1RPQ can shine the light on this for Jerry. W1RPQ, this is K1DCT in the Tipsnet.
This is W1RPQ. Well, first thing, Jerry, there's several YouTube videos and articles on how to set your radio up for cross-banding, so you should be able to find some easy online help, and it doesn't look like it's that difficult to do. But cross-banding, it's used a lot for terrain issues. We've done it a few times when we've done some of these road races where we'll have net control will be operating off of VHF, and we'll set up crossbanding in a lot of vehicles so that if you're out in a hilly area, you can use your UHF to get to a certain point, and then from there you can transmit on VHF. And in search and rescue, we do that very similar to that, where we have a VHF transmitter that's high up, and you can use crossbanding for the smaller rigs because of the capabilities of UHF over VHF. So, I mean, as far as in your yard with an HT, I can't think of a repeater around here, honestly, that I can't hit with my little HT. But it is a fun thing to do, and it's good practice. But you're going to get some benefit out of it, but it does slow you down, and you got to remember that you're cross-banding through there, so you have to always give yourself a little extra time when you hit the PTT and when you go to listen. But other than that, yeah, it's a fun thing to try to do and understand how to do it on your radio. This is W1RPQ. Back to Net.
All right, very good, Bob. Yes, good suggestion on the YouTube. Everything's out there on YouTube these days. You don't have to figure anything out on your own anymore. let's see if Josh has any further input. K0JEB, K1DCT in the Tipsnet.
K1DCT in the Tipsnet, K0JEB. Well, Jerry, I'm not quite sure if it's the ICOM, was it the ID 5100? I did a quick search online, and it looks like you need to have a digital HT to be able to do the crossband function. And I just want to throw a caution out there about the FCC ID requirement. Even though a lot of these radios have the crossband feature in them, they do not meet the requirements for IDing, because the only ID that most of us end up doing through the crossband repeat is the ID from your HT to the radio, but the radios usually do not have a feature to be able to ID back out on the UHF side. I had set it up at my house at one point and could not find a solution other than buying a repeater controller, and so I stopped doing that. But it is doable. It's just all depends, I guess, on how much you got in your wallet. It's K0JB back to net.
All right, very good, Josh. Yeah, you know, that's what a lot of things come down to. How fat is your wallet? Let's see if Jeremy is still around. Maybe he's tucking the kids in. KC1NBY, this is K1DCT in the tip net.
K1DCT, this is KC1NBY. Yep, so for crossbending, I've done a lot of crossbending from my house because I can't quite reach this repeater, actually, throughout all parts of my yard. So when I'm out in the yard working, I throw on the radio to crossband repeat. I'm not sure about the 5100, but mine is, you set up one side the frequency you want to go into with your HT, you set the other side up on the frequency you want to transmit out on, and then you turn it off and you hold two buttons to turn it back on, and it automatically goes into crossband repeat. And you can set it up to, if you want it to relay both ways, or if you only want it to relay one way. So if I can hear it on my HT but I can't transmit to it, I can just set it up to where I receive it on the HT, and then when I transmit, it transmits it to the radio and then to the repeater. So there's a lot of neat things you can do with that. As Josh was saying about the requirements, I didn't think about both sides like that. I'm interested to look back into my radio now and see if it does that. But I also only turn it on to when I want to do something. I don't leave it set up. So when I am using it, I am identifying every time I key the mic. With that, I'll turn it back over to net control, KC1NBY.
Alright, very good, Jeremy. Well, you've got some experience with it, so that's always helpful. Let's go see if Jerry has got his answers to his question. K1JMN, K1DCT in the tips net.
K1DCT, K1JMN. Thanks everyone for the tips. They're very good. I will be busy this evening looking into it, and I really appreciate it. And for Kevin, Kevin, I've been monitoring and talking on the 7:30 repeater today, and it's been working just fine. It's wonderful. No scratchies, no noise. Unexpected, and it's working just fine. The people from ground are talking into it, no problems, and they're coming in clear as a bell, actually. So yeah, it's sounding good. That Norwich repeater is sounding very, very good today. And again, thanks to everyone for your advice on getting the cross banding information to me. Thank you again, and I'll catch you later.
K1JMN, back to net. All right, very good, Jerry. Good luck with getting that all up and running. Let's see, well, we're getting long into the hour here, so I'll make a last call for the first section. Is there anyone else that would like to check in to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net? Please call now. This is Kilo 1 Delta, Charlie Tango. All right, nothing heard, so we'll move into the second section, which is announcements and items of interest. If anyone has something that fits into those categories, please call now.
Okay, so PDJ.
All right, K6PDG recognized. Go ahead with your announcement.
Just a reminder, which most people probably don't need, but there may be somebody listening who doesn't know, that the Raison Annual Picnic is tomorrow night beginning at 6 p.m. in the outdoor covered pavilion at the East Great Plain Firehouse in Norwich. All the details are on the Raison website. All amateurs are welcome. You don't need to be a member of Raison or any club. If you're a ham or interested in ham radio, bring a guest. We'd love to have you join us. Again, rason.org is the website. You'll find the information and contact info if you do have questions. Otherwise, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And by the way, I'll sneak this in, Dave. The Kenwood V71A does ID in both directions. KA6PDG.
Okay, well, good information about the picnic and the rig. Are there any other announcements? Please call now, K1DCT in the tips net. All right, well, we'll move into the third section, or as someone used to say on a radio show on a station I won't mention, we'll move into the third half, and this is for people that are looking to swap, sell, or maybe seeking some items. If you fit into that category, please call now. This is K1DCT in the tips net. All right, nothing heard. This is last call. Going to turn the lights up, put the bar stools up on the bar, and we're closing up. Any last call for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net? This is K1 Delta, Charlie Tango. All right, well, that was last call. We don't have any more check-ins. I'm going to close the net at this time. I want to thank all of you that participated in tonight's tips net and all those that stood by while we conducted the net. Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month. Presently, it's being held on this repeater at 7 p.m., again, the second Tuesday of each month. All properly licensed persons may check in, and information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.org. We thank John W1AN for the use of the W1DX repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo 1 Delta, Charlie Tango, good night, 7-3.
K1 DCT, it's K0.